I'm going to ask the same question that I asked in the first service. What day is today? That's tomorrow. On Christmas Eve. Okay. What's the date? 23rd. Yeah. This is December the 23rd, and we are still here. Jenny and I were talking about it the other day, actually on the 21st, you know, after the time had come and gone, said, still here, you know, kind of, yep, cool, still here. So I guess that we have another one of those prophecies that didn't quite materialize. Or maybe it's like the cartoon said, the little Mayan calendar maker comes to the king and he's got this wheel, you know, his wheel, and he goes, I ran out of space. And the king says, don't you know it's going to be funny on down the road someplace? Maybe that's what happened. Who knows? Regardless, I'm glad we're all here, able to be here this morning to worship the Lord Jesus. And as we look toward Christmas, it's only a day off. Really, it's one day off. You got one more shopping day. So if you haven't got it done, you're in trouble. You're going to have to face the malls. But we're one day off. And I want us to look at something today that I hope it touches each one of us. I'm going to ask the question, do you really want peace? And if so, then you need to choose Jesus. The answer to peace, the desire for peace that we all have in this world, is Jesus Christ. I want to read to you again the same scripture passage. It was up there on the screen just a few moments ago. Starting in the 11th verse of the letter written to the Ephesians, said, therefore, remember that formerly you, the Gentiles in the flesh, who were called the uncircumcision by the so-called circumcision, which is performed in the flesh by human hands, remember that you were at that time separate from Christ, excluded from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were formerly far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, and he made both groups into one, and he broke down the barrier of the dividing wall by abolishing in his flesh the enmity, which is the law of the commandments contained in the ordinances, so that in himself he might make the two into one new man, thus establishing peace, and might reconcile them both in one body to God through the cross, by it having put to death the enmity. And he came and he preached peace to you who were far away, and peace to those of you who were near. For through him we both have our access in one spirit to the Father. Lord, I just want to thank you so much that we can be here this morning, that we can come, that we can worship you, that we can bow before you, that we can offer ourselves this morning as an acceptable sacrifice to you, an acceptable sacrifice in worship. My prayer is this morning, Father, that if there be one in this service or one who would even hear on the internet, if there be one who does not know the Lord Jesus Christ as his or her Savior, I would pray, Father, that today would be the day that you would reach out and call to that one. And I would pray, Father, that they would respond, repenting of their sin and confessing and looking to you and accepting Jesus Christ as their Savior and Lord and inviting him to come into their hearts and believing on his name. I would pray, Father, that that person would be able to receive the precious peace that only you can provide. Lord, as we go through the service this morning, I just pray, Father, that you speak to us and remind us, those of us who already know you, remind us of the peace that you truly have given to each one of us through your Son, Jesus Christ. I just lift this up to you in Jesus' name. Amen. I want us to take a look. I'm going to concentrate a little bit primarily on verses 12 through 14. But if we look at verses 12 through 14, the thing that we see is the problem. We see the real problem that we have here in the world. You see, people are living today with a real sense of hopelessness, aren't they? I think you look all around. I mean, that's what we see. And they're living that way because of this separation they have from God. Now, we see the symptoms. We see the symptoms of the problem manifesting itself, if you will, in the world. And we see that as turmoil. Amen? I mean, the world is full of it. We see it as wars. We see it as hatreds. We see it as selfishnesses. We see it as hopelessness. We see all of this stuff kind of wrapped up coming out of the problem. But Paul just nails it. He goes right to what the real root cause of the problem is. Because the key issue that we as people, we as individuals have that cause all of this is the separation from God. And when that separation exists, it means that we're really separated from His Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. And there's only one way. And His name is Jesus. Because there's no way to have peace. There's no way to have that broken down, that wall taken away, other than through the Lord Jesus Christ. So when the people just don't have, when they don't have Jesus, it's like Paul said, they're strangers. They're strangers and they have no hope and they're living without God. And unless we have the saving relationship, there's no way that we're ever going to see an income to all the strivings and all the rest of the stuff that we see going on. This is the reason why, really, I mean, scripturally, and it doesn't take a rocket scientist to put it all together, the problem that we see in the world and in all of the things that really, I mean, they kind of rip at our heart, the murders and all the other stuff that goes on, the problem's coming out is because the majority of the people in the world simply deny God. They deny the fact that He is. They refuse to fear Him. They even curse Him at times. Amen? I mean, you know, His name is pitched around an awful lot anymore, and usually not in a good way. And they chase their own false gods. So out of that, it's no wonder then that we see the manifestation, if you will, of all the violence, of all the wars, and of all the crimes against one another, the hatreds, the everything, the greediness and the selfishness and all this other stuff. There isn't a day that, you know, I think every one of us, I mean, we watch, look at the internet, we watch the television, we watch the newscast, we read about it. We hear of a war someplace, don't we? Amen? It's kind of interesting, you know, and I did kind of a quick search of the internet to, when I hit upon that, and I said, you know what? Wow. It was really surprising. In this year, 2012, 60 countries with 367 different militias are out there battling themselves. 60 countries, 367 opposing forces, militaries of some type, are battling one another. You stop and think about that, it's kind of enough to kind of get depressed over a little bit, isn't it? 60 countries out of the total, right now they say there's 196 countries in the world. But that's basically a third of the world is at war with itself. That's a lot of folks fighting, isn't it? A third. Gets a little spooky, doesn't it, when you start to think about it. Now, we can get depressed, but I was reminded of something that's a lot better than depression. I was reminded that as a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, we ought to know the signs of the times. Amen? And as the signs of the times, what Jesus said, He said all these wars and these rumors of wars and all the rest of this stuff really are just signs of the times. And what are they pointing toward? They're pointing toward the return of Jesus Himself. That's enough to keep from getting depressed. Amen? That helps us. We've got that hope. I feel for the people that don't have that hope. That's why that we need to be telling them of the one, His name's Jesus Christ, who is the hope, who is the peace. So as, you know, as all this stuff is kind of coming together, I mean, we're starting to say, you know what? He's probably getting closer to coming back. I guarantee you, one second from the moment that I said that, He's one second closer to coming back. But in the meantime, what the world needs today is a peace. They need the peace that surpasses all understanding. And folks, when you get right down to it, is that not what God wanted to accomplish when he sent his son, Jesus Christ, to be born? Isn't that what the good news is all about? Isn't it about what God did in a real way to offer real peace and real reconciliation to him? Amen? Jesus is the one who came to bring peace. Jesus is the one who came to bring the reconciliation, to bring the life eternal, to restore people. And that's what we see in the birth of his son. I want us to take just a moment, and we're going to show a short video clip. John, if you will you get the lights? And Darian, go ahead and let's start it. He came. You know, looking back into the Old Testament, they were looking for the prophet. They were looking for the Messiah. They were looking for the promised one. They were crying out for him. And God even spoke through his various prophets. He spoke through Isaiah. It's recorded in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. For unto us a son will be given, right? Amen. And his name will be Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. They were looking for peace in Jesus' own day. They were looking for peace even before he came. The prophet Zechariah said, I will cut off the chariot from Ephraim and the house of Jerusalem, and the bow of war will be cut off. And he will speak peace to the nations. The Prince of Peace. Prophet Micah said, this one, talking about Jesus, this one will be our peace. Folks, Jesus was, and he still is, and he will be the only place, the only one through whom real peace can come. And Paul wrote to the church here in Ephesus, and he's telling them how they can have peace. You know what? Their lives were just as stressful as your life and my life today in their own way. Amen? They had their own worries. Our time's no different. And the only source of real peace could be found in one person, and his name is Jesus Christ. So Paul wrote to the Ephesians, and there in verse 13 he said, but now in Christ Jesus, you who were formerly far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. Do you notice the key word is in Christ? It's in Christ. It's not through money. It's not through fat bank accounts. It's not through nice homes. It's not through religion. It's in Jesus Christ. And him only. Verse 14, it goes on and said, and he himself is our peace. And he brought both the groups, made them into one, and he broke down the barrier of the dividing wall. See, verse 14 so clearly talks about what Christ did, the reconciliation that had to take place, and who it was that did this. His name, again, is Jesus. So what's the real issue? Why do we, as people, have such a struggle? Why do we have this separation? It's because we've got this separation problem. We've got this problem, and Paul talks about it in here. And he also gives us the solution. Because Christ is the only one who can restore the peace between God and mankind. In other words, I can't have peace with God unless I've got Jesus Christ in my life. And they needed to have Jesus Christ in their lives. And Paul's reminding the folks at Ephesus, and the same thing applies to you and me today in 21st century America. He's saying it's because of personal sin of the people that we become separated from God himself. We were far away because of that sin. And Paul talks of the sin as a barrier. He calls it a separation. It's a barrier or a dividing wall. That's really, if you go back and you look at the definitions, it's a dividing wall. And what are walls used for? Stop and think about it. What do walls do? They define spaces, don't they? This auditorium is defined by four walls, the space inside of it. Amen? It keeps the cold air out and the warm air in. That back wall there separates or defines the space between the auditorium and the foyer. We have walls in our homes. Walls keep us from getting from one place to another. They're barriers, aren't they? That's what they were designed for. But the barrier that separates mankind from God is the barrier that's called sin. Sin is what does that. It's like a highly fortified concrete wall of hostility that's been put up that separates us from God Himself. And the thing that comes out of all of this, out of the sin, that sin wall, is all of the conflict. Because we're struggling against it. We're fighting with it. It's all of the striving, all of the worry, and all of the anxiety, all of the stuff that goes on. We go, that sounds pretty bad. What do we do? Well, you know what? Once upon a time, way, way back when, in the beginning, it wasn't like this. Surprisingly enough. Because, you see, God's holy and God is righteous, isn't He? Amen? And He did something. He created man in His own image. Amen. Praise God. That means that before the fall of man, guess what? Man was able to be holy and righteous in God's sight because God had created him that way. But God also gave man the ability to choose, didn't He? And what did man do? Something happened. Adam and Eve came along, and Adam and Eve disobeyed God. And in doing so, something happened. Sin entered into the human race. Amen? And from that point thereon, every one of us, every man, every woman, every boy, and every girl, when we become old enough to figure it out, when we become old enough to figure what the difference is between right and wrong, we make a decision in our lives. And I defy any of us to stick our hands up and say, I have never chosen to do wrong. Because we all have, haven't we? Every one of us. The problem is we tend to do it over and over and over again, too. And that's why the Bible says we've all sinned against God. Every one of us has. Over and over and over and over. Amen? And that kind of puts us in a hopeless situation. But that's where the message of Christmas comes in. That's where the message of hope comes in. That's where the message of joy comes in. That's where the message of the Messiah comes in. It's what God has done for us. To take away, to break down that wall that was erected because of sin. God did what you and I couldn't do as human beings. He sent His own Son, Jesus Christ, to come and deliver us, wasn't it? Amen? And in doing so, Jesus came and He broke down the barrier. He destroyed the barrier. He destroyed the sin-erected barrier that is between God and man. Amen? If that isn't good news and something to hoop and holler about, I don't know what is. Jesus did what it took to bring us back into right relationship with God so that we can have peace with God. And you know what? When we can have peace with God, that peace starts to flow out of us all around us. Amen? That comes about. That moment that we accept Jesus Christ as our Savior and Lord, we repent of our sins, we invite Him to come into our lives, we turn our lives over to Him, and we receive at that moment the greatest gift that was ever given to mankind. You see, Christmas is not really about lights and trees and angels on trees and parties and visiting and doing a kind deed here and there, helping somebody out every once in a while. Christmas is about the birth of God's own Son. It's about the birth of the Redeemer. It's about the birth of the one who would reconcile people back to God. It's about the one who would lay down His life and break the wall. You know, I got to say hallelujah, because God did that. And when I think about what God did, breaking down that sin wall, one of the things that came to, I guess the closest thing that most of us today can probably remember, whether or at least we've read about, was the coming down of the Berlin Wall. You know, they celebrated when that wall came down, didn't they? Remember the pictures? Watching them? I mean, if you don't, go on. They're still on the internet. I mean, you can find them. Go back and look. These folks went at that wall with bare hands. They went at it with sledgehammers, picks, anything they had, and they broke it down and they really celebrated. But the wall that my Lord, that Jesus Christ broke down, is so much bigger. It just didn't divide people from people. It was the wall that divided man, divided me from God. And Jesus broke it down and he paid the price on that cross with his blood for me. You know what? I got to say hallelujah again. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for what you did. You know what, folks? Really, the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, is still the only answer for peace today. That hasn't changed. There is no other way to have real peace. Jesus himself said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the light. No one comes to the Father except through me. He didn't say, no one comes to the Father except through me unless you go to, did he? What did he say? Except through him. Period. End of statement. Folks, there is no other Savior. There is no other God people can go to. There is no other peace that they're going to receive other than the real peace that will really satisfy their souls. And it takes the peace of Jesus Christ. We can't get to God by doing a bunch of good works. It doesn't happen, does it? Do we try? Uh-huh. We can't get to God by belonging to the right religion. Do men and women try? You betcha. We can't get to God by going and confessing to a priest or a minister. Do people try? You betcha. We can't get to God by being better than we were the day before. There's only one way to the Father, and that is through the Lord Jesus Christ. There's only one way to reconciliation, and that's through Jesus Christ. There's only one way to eternal life in heaven, and that's through Jesus Christ and none other. There is no other Savior. There is no other peace dispenser other than Jesus. Folks, we've got some good news we can pass around. We really have got some good news. We've already received it. If you know Jesus, you've already got that peace. But we can pass it around. Amen? And it's the good news of peace that we can tell somebody that the Prince of Peace came and died for them. We can tell them that the Prince of Peace offers this eternal life to them by simple belief in Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace. If there's any of you here this morning that haven't accepted the gift of eternal life by accepting Jesus Christ, what better time would there be than today? And all you have to do is tell God that you confess of your sins. Confess of your sins. Tell him that you believe that his Son, Jesus Christ, is the Son of God. And accept what he did. And ask him to come into your life to be Savior and Lord today. And let him start being the manager of your life. He came to give you that very special, that very unique, that very priceless gift called life eternal. And it goes with it, reconciliation to God. If you already know Jesus, take that message to somebody, one of your friends, one of your family members, to a co-worker, to a schoolmate, to somebody you know, and tell them about what Jesus did for you. Because you'll give them the best Christmas gift that you could ever share. Take it and share it. Amen. Father, thank you so much that we could be here this morning and worship you and celebrate you. Thank you so much for the most blessed gift that was ever given, and that's your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, as we have our heads bowed this morning and we're allowing you to minister to us and we're allowing you to speak to us, if there be anyone who's here this morning who has not received Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, I pray, Father, today that as you call them, they will accept that gift and that they will come this morning inviting Jesus Christ into their hearts and make that confession, make that profession loud and clear to everyone else. Father, you may be putting on our hearts, some of us who already know you, a person that needs to hear the good news of the birth of your Son and what he has done for us. Help us to make the commitment, Father, that as we go out of here today, that we will share him. I lift this up to you, and I pray this in Jesus' name. As we continue with every head bowed and every eye closed, if you will, if there is anyone who invited Jesus Christ to come into your heart this morning and you need to come and share that, just ease up out of your chair and come on up to the front. So we'd love to pray with you. Love to help get you started on the next step.